Well, masks may be mandatory in indoor public spaces in BC, but that hasn't stopped some people from resisting the order. In Dawson Creek, a Walmart employee was assaulted by a customer who was asked to wear a face mask. And in Nelson, a hotel employee had a heart attack and collapsed after an angry customer spat on them because they didn't want to wear a mask. Dr. Bonnie Henry says she has no time for people who are aggressive and rude about wearing a mask. On Tuesday, the province announced $230 for fines for anyone who doesn't comply with its mandatory mask order. So why do we keep hearing these stories about angry anti-maskers? Dr. Kathy Keating is a registered psychologist in Kelowna. She joins us on the line this afternoon. And a reminder, this is not intended to replace any in-person psychological advice. Hello there, Dr. Keating.
Hi, Sarah.
So we've been hearing stories of some very angry responses from people who don't want to wear a mask. Why do you think some people feel so angry about wearing masks?
Yeah, I mean, we've certainly seen some instances of that. And first and foremost, I would say that, of course, any aggressive behavior or violent behavior in response to that is completely unacceptable, as Dr. Henry said. But I think, you know, those intense negative emotions come from a couple of places. And one, I think, is a sense of control. And so one thing we can certainly say about COVID-19 is it makes us feel like we don't have a lot of control right now. Whether it's, you know, businesses closing, children not being able to go to school, people dying. And, you know, I think that refusing to wear a mask sometimes in a paradoxical way can seem like you're reestablishing a sense of control. And so I think that people are having a reaction to that. And the other thing is, I think, as you know, initially masks weren't recommended and there wasn't a lot of data to support their use. And that changed. And that's changed, you know, quite a while now. We have known that the research has shown that masks can be helpful. But that confusion, you know, initially, I think that that has put a seed of doubt in some folks. And that's just really bringing about some negative emotion when they feel like it's going against earlier advice.
And what is it, do you think, about this topic that just seems to be so polarizing with people?
You know, it's a tough one. I think there's a lot of factors that play into it. Certainly we think about personality styles. Certainly we think about cultural issues. So, for example, Western society, like us here in Canada, the United States, we're considered more egocentric, you know, focused on our individual needs, individual well-being. If we actually look at Eastern cultures, you know, they have oftentimes the well-being of the group is considered most important, and mask wearing is going better there, quite frankly. So it's interesting to kind of assess those things and try to pick apart those factors that might explain such polarizing views.
And of course, we have, you know, financial penalties now for not wearing a mask in indoor public spaces in BC. Do you think that'll go any way to having a tangible way to get people to change their activities? Or do you think it'll make people dig in their heels even more?
You know what? The last part of your statement there is really interesting. I think that, you know, typically punishment isn't the best motivator, right? So I understand the need for it. I think they've tried a lot of things before they brought in the fines. I mean, they could have, I guess, done that before, but, you know, it could backfire in the sense that people deem these fines as being unfair and they can't dig their heels in, and it could actually reduce compliance. So, you know, they have tried other approaches, and I get that this is, you know, essentially a last-ditch effort to try to persuade people, and it may have small effects. I don't think it's going to be the big game changer for mask wearers.
Mm. What advice do you have for anybody who might find themselves in a situation where somebody's not wearing a mask and they have to ask to them to wear one or feel they need to? What kind of advice do you have in those situations?
Yeah, you know, I think that that's tough, and I think that no one really wants to be in a situation like that right now. The best thing that we can do is modeling mask behavior. Social pressure can work. We need good models for mask wearers, you know, people we trust, people we respect, public officials, sports figures, celebrities, even our personal heroes. Like, those things can actually help. A couple of other things, you know, in my office, we've been chatting about thought experiments that we can do with people. And one example of that is, you know, asking about if you're going in for a surgery and if you would expect a surgeon to wear a mask. And Of course we would, and that would just be part of it, and that's reasonable to manage infection in a surgery room or an operating room. So I think those sorts of things can be helpful, but ultimately just wearing your mask and modeling that behavior, I think, is the best plan.
And what is there something to be said for the relative speed with which these changes have happened in our lives?
Oh, you bet. I mean, you know, when we look at research, you know, generally we're looking back over months, years, decades, right? If we look at, you know, public health policy around cigarette smoking, like that research has been developed over decades. And right now with the coronavirus, we're watching this research roll out in real time. Like this is evolving over the last 8 or 9 months. You know, studies are coming out, you know, almost every week. And so this is so different. We're not used to adjusting to these changes on the weekly. We're used to seeing, you know, having this well-defined body of evidence that we've looked to for years. So I think that that's really hard for people to adjust in real time and understand that, you know, science isn't often done like this.
And what do you make, I mean, we're talking about the vitriol a little bit earlier, but, you know, like there's so much, you know, name-calling on both sides, really. Have you ever seen a time when somebody like bullied somebody on the other side and the other side went, you know what? Gosh darn, you're right. I'm going to switch how I'm doing things. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, certainly I can see the kind of impulse to do that perhaps, but you're totally right, Sarah. It's not effective, right? Like if you're in that and your emotion is that high, the goal of your conversation is not going to be reached. In fact, what we know in psychology is if that happens, the other party is more likely to dig their heels in and hold their position more strongly. So it's actually just completely the wrong approach in terms of trying to get people to sway their beliefs.
So, and finally, then I wonder if you have any messages for folks who might be, you know, trying hard to follow the rules and might be feeling discouraged about, you know, the stories that they're hearing these days about anti-maskers.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, Sarah, back away from the social media. It is a great, you know, tool. It can give us information. It can keep us connected. But, you know, I understand that there's a need for these kinds of things to be covered. But when we go on our news feeds and we see, you know, 9 different stories about the same incident at a certain, you know, establishment, it makes us feel like it's more prevalent than it is. And it makes us feel like there's more people that are, you know, kind of anti-maskers or going against that than there are who's abiding by the guidelines. And that's just not the case. You know, on top of that is just remembering that, you know what, the majority of people are following the guidelines. And if you're in an establishment, what I've wanted to do and what I've even done myself is take stock of the people who are, you know, following the guidelines and wearing masks. You're far less likely to remember those innocuous, you know, experiences than if you go to an establishment and someone kicks up a fuss. So just trying to be mindful when you go to a place and everyone's kind of just doing what they do and trying to be safe, trying to remember those because they're the ones that we just don't focus on as much.
Right. Dr. Keating, it's always good to talk to you. Thank you so much for this.
Thanks, Sarah.
You bet. That's Dr. Kathy Keating. She is a registered psychologist in Kelowna. And just a reminder, it's important to note that what we do talk about during our chats is not intended to replace medical or individual psychological advice.